Our Bibles open on our knees. Let us commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, now that you, the God of all grace, all sufficient grace, would speak to us. Father, enable us by your grace to cast out the cares of this world and to be still and know that you are God. Hide me. I'm a big man, a very big man. But Lord, I pray that you would hide me. Lord, may we not just hear tonight the words of a fallen, sinful man, but Lord, may we hear you, the God of all eternity, speak to us and point us in the way we should go. Direct us to Christ, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen. God's word to us tonight is, do not fear, be bold, guard the faith. Do not fear, be bold, guard the faith. Queen Elizabeth II is a woman of strong, bold, Christ-centered faith. Throughout her long reign, she has unashamedly proclaimed her allegiance to Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord. Paul wrote this letter to Timothy to encourage him to unashamedly hold on to the faith. Paul instructs Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel. Paul encourages Timothy that he is not to give up, but instead fulfill God's calling for his life. Paul instructs Timothy to preach the word of God on all occasions. Paul starts 2 Timothy, his second letter to Timothy, where he finished off his first letter to Timothy. Paul has left Timothy in Ephesus, dealing with false teachers, enemies of the gospel. And poor Timothy has been left a bit battered. And Paul warns Timothy to guard the deposit which has been entrusted to him. Paul tells Timothy, don't you let yourself be brainwashed by these false teachers. Paul calls Timothy to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and gentleness. Paul calls Timothy to fight the good fight of the faith. For Paul, his circumstances is now different compared to when he wrote his first letter to Timothy. Paul is no longer a free man, but he is in chains for the gospel. Paul states in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 16 and in chapter 2 verse 9 that he is in chains. He is in chains for the gospel. It is believed that Paul wrote 2 Timothy sometime around AD 66 to 68. Paul is coming now to the end of his earthly ministry. He knows his days on this earth are coming to an end. He has fought the good fight. He has run the race. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us that Paul is now ready to receive the crown of righteousness. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Paul, even in the face of such suffering, has still got this full zeal for the gospel. He instructs Timothy to guard the gospel. Paul now is passing the torch on to Timothy. Paul has lived out his life with an eternal perspective. Jesus Christ gave Paul the gospel as he approached Damascus. Paul's name before he was converted was Saul, and he was a fierce enemy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, we see how God in his grace saved Saul on the road to Damascus. Paul's day of persecuting believers for Christ was over. Instead of persecuting believers in Damascus, he proclaimed in the synagogue that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. Paul instructs Timothy in this letter to now go and to find trustworthy men who he can pass the gospel on to. And we see that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul says, and what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul here has a sense of history. He is challenging Timothy to pass the gospel on to the next generation. Paul is telling Timothy, tell the next generation about Jesus Christ. Paul tells Timothy that he does not need to fear the task that is ahead of him. He instructs him to guard the faith. Use the gift that God has given you, Timothy. Preach the word. Paul encourages Timothy to fulfill his God-given calling in his life. He is not to fear what others think about him. He is to be a preacher of the gospel. Paul tells Timothy not to lose his zeal for God. Tonight, fellow disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are a people. Are we a people who fear God, or do we fear man tonight? We're currently living in a godless society. A society that has no time for the things of God, never mind the ways of God. We're living in a wicked and evil world, a broken world, which has no time for the laws, the statutes, and decrees of Almighty God. We're not to fear man tonight, believer, but we are to guard the faith. And when we're given that opportunity to speak of the hope that the Lord has blessed us with, we are to do so boldly. And that is the task of Jesus Christ in Ulster in 2022. As God's covenant people, we are called to pass the gospel on to the next generation. And how do we do that? In our prayer meeting tonight, we prayed, where's the most difficult place to be a witness for Christ? In the home. Parents of the covenant promise tonight, may we by God's grace fulfill our God-given duty to bring up our wee ones in the ways of the Lord. Fathers, tonight, as the head of the household, it is your responsibility, your God-given duty to ensure that family worship takes place in your home. And it's our prayer as the Church of Jesus Christ that God will fulfill his covenant promise in our children's lives, because it's God alone who will enable our children to trust and to become followers of Jesus Christ. Salvation is a full work of God alone. Do not fear. Be bold. Guard the faith. In verses 1 to 2, we see Paul has sent this letter, and he has sent it to his beloved child, Timothy. Many people often make the mistake in thinking that Paul here is sending Timothy just a personal letter between friends. But that is not the case. Paul makes very clear in the first line that this letter carries with it the weight of the apostolic charge. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we see what Paul's charge is to Timothy. Paul states, I charge you in the presence of God and in Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Paul instructs himself at the start of this letter as Christ's official representative. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. God himself chose Paul from before the foundations of the world were formed to be an apostle. God set Paul apart for this high office. You see, Paul now belongs to Christ, and it is in Christ's service that Paul functions. Paul has not appointed himself to this office. He has been appointed through the will of Almighty God. He may be a prisoner, but his letter has been sent by the authority and in accordance of the will of Almighty God. Paul goes on to reveal the dignity of his calling, the promise of life in Jesus Christ. What life is Paul talking about that is promised? Everlasting life, eternal life. Paul, as he faces death, speaks of the indestructible life which Christ will give to his chosen people. Paul, in these opening verses, is clear that it's through Christ and it's through Christ alone that we as people can receive that promised everlasting life. Paul's task as an apostle of Christ is to proclaim that promised life that is found in Christ Jesus. In verse 2, we see that this letter is to be received by Timothy, my beloved child. In 1 Timothy, Paul called Timothy my true child in the faith. The first time we read of Timothy in the scriptures is in Acts 16 and in verse 1. Paul met Timothy in Lystra. He was a child from a mixed marriage. His father was a Greek pagan and his mother was a devout Jew. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we see from childhood he has been instructed in the sacred writings of the Old Testament. Timothy's conversion, we believe, most likely took place through Paul's first missionary journey. So it's for this reason that Paul speaks of Timothy as his spiritual child. In verse 2, we see how Paul pronounces grace, mercy, and peace on Timothy from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is telling Timothy here that God has and will meet his every single need. God provides pardoning grace tonight for the worthless. God provides his help and his mercy tonight to the helpless. And God provides peace to the restless. Paul is reminding Timothy and you and I that it's through the mediatorial work of our Lord Jesus Christ that you and I have experienced and can experience peace with God and experience his grace and mercy at work in our lives. It is through Christ Paul experienced the grace of God saving a worthless enemy of the gospel. It is through Christ that Paul experienced mercy. God was merciful to Paul on the Damascus Road. It is through Christ that Paul has experienced and now lives having that peace with God. At God's appointed time, he will receive that indestructible life, eternal life, which we believe is by far better. Do not fear. Be bold. Guard the faith. In verses 3 to 5, we see how Paul expresses his sincere thanks to God. Paul, as he writes this letter to Timothy from this dungeon, is not complaining about his situation. Instead, he is filled with gratitude, with thankfulness to Almighty God for his many blessings. And one of those blessings is young Timothy. Paul is thankful to God for the opportunity he has to serve as God. He is in prison, been treated like a criminal, but his conscience is clear. He has proclaimed the gospel as led by the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you or I heard of a person who was imprisoned, who had a clear conscience? Why is it tonight that Paul has a clear conscience? His conscience is clear, as he is a man who fears God and not man. His trust is in God alone to meet all of his needs. His hope and his confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has served God with a clear conscience, just like his ancestors did long ago. Paul is saying that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, and all the devout ancestors have served Almighty God with a clear conscience because they all believed in the one in whom Paul believes. There his ancestors from the Old Testament looked forward, pointing forward to the coming Messiah. And Paul has proclaimed that Messiah that the Old Testament prophets pointed to. Paul's conscience is clear. He knows peace in his heart, and he knows peace of mind, as his hope and confidence is in the same Messiah as his forefathers. Tonight, believer, Paul's hope is your and my hope. It is the same hope as the prophets of old shared. Our hope is in the promised Messiah, and as his people, we do not fear. Instead, we guard the faith unashamedly. If you're not in Christ tonight, the gospel reality is this: your conscience is not clear. You remain dead in your sins. You're guilty before a holy and just God. God's word is clear that those who die in that state will be condemned for all of eternity, separated from the presence of God forevermore. It's that place of outer darkness, that place of destruction. Tonight, if you're not the Lord's, can I humbly urge you to come to Christ, to trust in him, and to experience his grace and mercy and peace, to do that work of transformation in your life. Do not fear. Be bold. Guard the faith. Paul, in this gloomy dungeon, continues to serve his God faithfully. He is constantly remembering Timothy in his prayers both day and night. Paul remembers how Timothy is a young man with a sincere faith. Paul desires in verse 3 to encourage Timothy by his prayers. As Paul prays for Timothy, he prays for him as a young man who is serving the one true and living God with a pure conscience. In verses 4 and 5, we see Paul's two motivations for his prayers for young Timothy. In verse 4, we see Paul and Timothy have a strong friendship. Timothy has been a faithful brother in the Lord to Paul. Paul's last memory of Timothy was his tears as they departed from one another. Paul remembers with warmth the genuine friendship he had with Timothy. Paul has a longing desire to see Timothy again. Paul tells Timothy that it would fill him with joy to see him once again. He is inviting Timothy to come and to see him. Paul desires to see Timothy. In verse 5, we see God's second motivation in his prayer for Timothy is Timothy's sincere faith. The Greek text states his unhypocritical faith. Paul is convinced that Timothy's faith is wholeheartedly genuine, real, and sincere. Paul is convinced that God, by his grace, has done that work of saving faith in Timothy's life. This sincere faith that reigns in Timothy's heart had first been received by Timothy's grandmother and mother. You see, Paul knew Timothy's background and roots. He knew all about Timothy's family. He knew that Timothy's grandmother and mother were women of saving faith. Their confidence and hope for salvation was found in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Believer, tonight, let me ask you a question. Have you ever thanked God for we godly women who prayed for you and I, who had a wonderful impact for good in our lives, who pointed us to Christ? Grandmothers and mothers who prayed for you and I before we were even born. Grandmothers and mothers who sat us on our knee and taught us how to pray. Grandmothers and mothers who read us the Word of God. Grandmothers and mothers who enabled and helped us to memorize Scripture and to learn off the shorter catechism. Grandmothers and mothers here tonight, let your legacy be the same as Timothy's mother and grandmother. Do not fear. Be bold. guard the faith. Paul, knowing that Timothy was a man of sincere faith, went on to remind Timothy of his calling as God's chosen representative. In verse 6, Paul says to Timothy, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is yours through the laying on of my hands." It would seem that Paul is currently unsatisfied with Timothy's zeal in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. By Paul telling Timothy to fan into flame, he is encouraging Timothy to persevere in his preaching of the faith. And this is not the first time in which we see Paul has spoken to Timothy about his zeal in proclaiming the gospel. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14, we read, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you." There's no doubt in many ways that Timothy's back is up against the wall. He is not living in easy times. Believers were facing state persecution. He was a young man who faced personal struggles. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23, we see that young Timothy suffers with ill health. Paul says to him, "No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and for your frequent ailments." In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul instructs Timothy, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and in purity." Timothy was timid. He was a soft-temperate person. In verse 4, Paul speaks of Timothy's tears. In verse 7, Paul talks of Timothy's fear. Those in Ephesus who opposed Timothy were very determined. And it's in these circumstances that Paul instructs Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. Paul is telling Timothy, remember your ordination. Remember the calling God has placed on your life. Paul is telling Timothy, you are God's man for this time, for this season. Be bold, don't fear. Preach the word of God with boldness. The one who has called you will equip you for the task that lies ahead. Yes, Timothy, these are difficult days. Yes, Timothy, I, Paul, am soon going to leave the scene of time. But Timothy, this is not a time for fear. This is not a time to lie down on the job or give up. This is a time to proclaim God's truth all the more boldly. In verse 7, Paul says to Timothy, "For God gives us a spirit not of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control." Paul is telling Timothy, God who has called you to this office has also given you his spirit. Do not fear, Timothy. Remember whose spirit indwells you. He promises you, Timothy, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Paul is telling Timothy, fight your fearlessness, your fearfulness. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-control. Paul is instructing Timothy to avail of God's never-failing power. God's power is dynamite. Paul is urging Timothy to utilize boldly the gifts of preaching and teaching that the Holy Spirit has given him to be used for his name and glory alone. Do not fear. Be bold. Guard the faith. Tonight, are we a people who are full of fear of man, or are we going to be a people who's going to guard the faith in 2022? Congregation, tonight, can I encourage you to be faithfully in prayer for those God has called to rule and to teach in this place and throughout our presbytery and denomination. Be bold in your praying. pray that each week as we gather to worship in our different congregations, that we would just not hear the words of fallen, sinful men, but pray that the Lord God would speak to us in a very real way in these days, that He would direct our paths. Pray for our Kirk sessions, for your own and for others within your presbytery as they provide spiritual oversight within their congregations. Timothy has been called by God to a very high office. He has been ordained of God to teach the word. Within this congregation, God has set apart the Kirk session to rule and to teach in this place. Men, tonight, God has called you to a very high office, and I'm well aware that you know that and that you know your responsibilities. But as you hear the cries of the human rights brigade who demand equality, who bully and intimidate the society with all their wants and wishes, does this fill you with fear? Or are you, by God's grace through His Spirit, filled with a boldness to guard the faith? Men, tonight, do not fear. Be bold, guard the faith. Remember, God has called you to this task, and He has and will continue to equip you for this task. Someone who spends hours week by week preparing to preach from Sunday to Sunday, I tonight need to ask myself the question, have I fanned into flame the gift of God? And that should be the question that every preacher in Ireland should be asking themselves tonight. Am I preaching God's word faithfully? Or do I fear man? And that stops me proclaiming God's word fully. You see, tonight we're not called to be crowd pleasers. We're called to declare the truth of God's holy word with grace and love. We're depending on God to do a work by His Spirit, and to use His word by His Spirit to be dynamite in our people's lives. We're depending on God to save His chosen people, and God will save every single one of His elect before He returns. He saves through the folly of preaching, not entertainment. The task of preaching should never be treated lightly. God tells the preacher, "You're one who will be doubly judged." Preachers of the gospel in 2022 should not expect a walk in the park, but they should expect persecution. And we're called to be bold. We're called to be courageous. We're called to fight the good fight until we have finished the race and won the crown of life. So let us tonight go forth in His service. Let us not grow cold. Let us be loyal, steadfast, true, and bold. We praise the Master tonight that He will keep us by His all-sufficient grace alone. Amen. Let us all pray.